So hi there, and welcome to the Collisum interview series, Beyond Revenue, Bringing Purpose to Brand, where conversations grounded in purpose give insight to the outdoor industry. So today, I am welcomed by Teresa Santiano McHatton. Did I get that right, Teresa?
Yes.
Great, great. Thank you. So before I introduce Teresa, I'd like to just frame our conversation today. So today we are talking about purpose, and purpose-driven companies go beyond their role of offering a service or a product to develop programs that have a social or an environmental impact. And it's an exciting trend to explore if one wants to make a difference in their career or in their company. At Collisum, we believe in the quadruple bottom line. And that is expressed as people, planet, profit, and purpose. So, Teresa, welcome. Thanks for joining me today. You are coming to us both from Houston, Texas, as well as New Haven, Connecticut. We will talk about that. That's quite a commute that you have going on.
Yes.
Teresa is a passionate environmental engineer from MIT. Now turned circular economy advisor. Yes, I'm going to say that slowly so everyone can digest this. Circular economy advisor for a multinational energy company focused on how we can move from a waste minimization focus to a wider lens of circularity in every step of business. Teresa is also studying at Yale School of Management on the weekends to get a sustainability focused MIA. MIA, you're certainly not missing an action, to get a sustainably focused MBA. So welcome, Teresa. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me today.
Absolutely. So let's dive in. At the time, half an hour always goes quite quickly, so I'm going to dive right in. So when, you know, to let our guests know, I always ask the same questions to my interviewee guests, knowing that each of them come with a unique perspective and expertise. And what I share with Teresa is that we share a commitment to global change. So let's start at the top. How everyone defines purpose differently. How do you define purpose?
That's a great question. I think, purpose is what gets me out of the bed in the morning, what gets me ready to fight a good fight, to push for that environmental change that I want to see in the world. And I think if you don't have that purpose or that bigger project you want to see in the world, it's really hard to do your job.
Mm-hmm. And so what's your purpose?
Right now, my purpose is to really become a thought leader in circular economy, to really push it out to a wider audience to understand how important it is, not just to minimize waste, but think about a product and a business from every aspect of its life cycle. Because the greatest change that you can have is from the beginning in the design phase. So you have to be thinking about it from the very, very start. And you can't be thinking about it if you don't know about it.
Right, right. Two beautiful things. I say the earlier you can bake it in, the better from a brand standpoint. And you're like at the complete onset of conception. So can you define a circular economy for us?
Of course. So it's still actually defined in many different ways. I just read a paper that says that there is 108 different definitions of circular economy out there right now. It's actually part of the problem. But the most simple way to describe but I think is moving from the take, make, waste method of business and really starting to think about how do you keep a resource in the economy for as long as possible? How do you change consumption patterns? How do you change design of the materials? How do you increase infrastructure? Maybe not the simplest way, but that's the way I like to think about it. And you can always also go to the Ellen MacArthur Foundation website and learn more about circular economy. It's really a great resource. There's lots of videos out there to get into the nitty gritty.
Mm, great. Thank you for that. I feel like that's a great resource in terms of it. It always, as many growth stage brands whom we work with get overwhelmed. It just sounds too much. So first is to just develop the curiosity. And second, you said, you know, today my purpose is this, which is also a beautiful thing because it is allowed to change within us. It is what brings us to work every day. It is what we want to talk about. It's what we're passionate, but it doesn't have to be permanent, right? It needs to be able to morph with the times because we're always changing.
Absolutely. Because right now, again, it's about teaching about the concept, but really I want to see the impact on the front line. So in the future, hopefully I'll be able to work on a different aspect in circular economy on the infrastructure side.
Okay, wonderful. So you've been in this environmental discipline for 8 years now. Can you tell me where you see industry change or pivotable moments, and why do you think they occurred?
My goodness, this is the greatest time to work in sustainability. I have never seen so much energy, so much change, so much passion. Even the pressures really from consumers willing to pay a little bit more to have a more circular product. And that really drives businesses to change. So for me, I started out in compliance. It's not the fun, glamorous part of sustainability, but it's an important part. The regulations drive businesses to at least hit a minimum standard. So I was out there auditing facilities, finding gaps. We weren't always up to the standards we hoped to be, and helping the businesses I was working with or the facilities I was working with get up to the standard they needed to be. But that's not quite as fun as getting them to the ambition that we need to hit. I want a zero waste world, and compliance just isn't enough for that. So I think my happiest moment is seeing that all of a sudden people really care about the circular economy. And I do really, truly believe it's coming from the consumer's push. And I think it's businesses' job now to make the consumer's decisions easier, to make better, more circular decisions.
Okay. And do you see, you know, you say the consumer, do you see this, is this generational based? Is this gender based, geographical based? Tell me a little bit about the demographic and psychographics of who these consumers are. Cause I certainly don't think it's everyone, middle America, global. Like, who are these leaders?
That's a fair challenge. And we do have to also remember that there is a privilege associated with making these pushes, right? We're seeing a lot of thought leadership coming out of the EU with their WEE regulations and their push, especially around electronics. We're seeing people like Greta Thunberg really make some vocal changes. We are seeing consumers in the US being willing to pay more for services. Again, coming back to that piece about equity, though, mm-hmm. It's important that we make this circular world fair for everyone and not just those who can afford a Tesla.
Makes me think back. Oh my gosh, I would have to think about how long ago it was where solar energy was more expensive than electrical, and now that is not true. I know in my community I can buy into alternative energy, and there are all sorts of opportunities to purchase, install, get rebates in that realm, and so I certainly hope that it continues with many other options like that.
Yeah. And again, we are seeing some governmental push and change, but I think what happens faster is when you have someone waving a little bit extra money to say, let's make this service better for the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You had mentioned to me in a previous conversation that some of your executives, you've seen executives, their pay tied to carbon emissions. I haven't seen that. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's a line item in our bonus structure. So I think that's a very important piece. It's one of our goals, just like a business goal, to reduce our emissions. So I do actually hope that we see that in other parts of the sustainability world and not just emissions.
Yeah, well, you have to walk the talk and prove it.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
What gets measured gets done.
Oh, I like that. What gets measured gets done. Yes. Interesting. I say that I run my business leading with intuition and following with data. So 30 years of experience, that's what I'm good at. I know based on my experience and based on, you know, some DNA, but then if you can't actually measure it, why is it working or not? Is it quantifiable? So I resonate with that statement.
And that's actually a huge part of what I'm doing right now is trying to determine what metrics to use to actually measure circularity. And it's a very, very difficult concept. It's so intangible right now. We're so used to focusing on how much waste we generate and not looking at it from a holistic lens. So it's very difficult to measure waste prevented, and that's really what we're going for.
And how is the industry, like, I'm thinking about the future is near concept of, are individuals like you competing or collaborating? Is it propelling and like coming together to say these are the agreed upon metrics, or is this also part of the challenge of the 150 definitions of?
This is definitely part of the challenge, and it's something we're really looking towards industry boards to help us fix. Without consistent metrics, it's very hard to benchmark against competition to measure even your own progress. We're currently working with the WBCSD Circular Transition Indicators framework and seeing and piloting if that will work for us. But that's just one of the many standards out there, and until we have some consistency, it's very difficult because we do compete, and this is a customer value proposition to be more circular, but we also do collaborate. We are in a lot of industry groups, especially on difficult waste streams, to find better homes for them.
Okay. I really am an advocate for collaborating and the communal win rather than the singular win, removing the ego from it to say how can we help each other and move forward together, the all ships rise scenario.
But there is some value to the competition, I will say, because it's if someone else can do it in your space, that means you can too. And that does help us a bit with pushing forward.
Right, very nice. Okay. And so have you always been interested in sustainability? How did you find your way to it?
Yeah, I would say I have always been interested in it, but I didn't always call it sustainability. And I would say that not until pretty far into my college career did I even think about waste as being something I wanted to focus in on. I grew up by the ocean, and it's a big part of who I am. And I really believe that the Clean Water Act in the US was something that I visibly saw the changes because of. There's a beach across the street when I was younger. You couldn't swim in it every day because of bacteria counts. And as the regulations really set in, we don't really have those high bacteria count days anymore, and everyone gets to use the beach when they please. And I think I didn't know at the time that that was going to really shape who I became. But moving into high school, I was kind of a dabbler in all the different maths and sciences. I loved it, and I didn't know what I wanted to pick. And when I learned about environmental science, it really struck a chord because I could use all of my different strengths and use it towards, again, a purpose, like you mentioned, to try to bring better good with kind of being a little non-committal about what my strengths were.
Well, I think that's fascinating to me because I think it's with us all the time. It's a matter of at what point do we acknowledge it and step forward in it. So in those developmental years, we're trying everything on. We're looking around, much like trying to decide a college major. But as adults, what I recommend when someone says, "I don't know what my purpose is," or "I don't know what impact I want to make," I recommend they look at the global crises. There are, def 18 defined, and then there's long term, medium, short term, and say, just get curious and maybe pick two or three that pique your interest and read about it or watch a documentary or whatever it might be. So, you having that lake there was monumental. And so I think it's really neat to, as an adult, to look back and go, how far back did this go? And to tell that story because you can help others to look for their moments.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's super important about sustainability is you don't have to be a sustainability professional to be a sustainability professional. Every action you decide at work, everything you touch, there are decisions you can make to make that decision more sustainable. It doesn't have to be your title, it can still be your purpose.
Absolutely. Leading without the title is what I've always said. That's yes. And tiny little moments and progress without perfection and trying, finding your peers that are willing to talk with you, educating yourself, unlearning equally, being aware of what prejudices we may have. And so looking at those things. So beautiful thoughts. So you have your hands full in terms of work and studying at Yale. How do you, you know, what is your biggest challenge today? Maybe outside of those. So I'm thinking about,
Time.
yeah, of course, time, your time challenge. So I look at do, you know, how do I stay on top of things? How do I stay relevant? How do I learn? How do I connect with others? How do I inspire others? So if purpose is 24/7, when you are not studying or at the office, does this also show up in your life?
Yeah, I would say that it infiltrates every part of my life. My kind of fun reading I have by my desk right now is called The Conscious Closet, trying to learn more about sustainability and circular economy and fashion because it's something I love, and I am not great about the fact that I do love buying the newest trends and I don't wear them as often or as much as a sustainability professional might. So trying to figure out better ways to incorporate circular economy even in how I show up online.
Yeah, it is. Yes, great, great thoughts. So this is, I don't know, this is a favorite for me, and sometimes it stumps people. My social impact coach regularly asks me, who are you becoming? And in the beginning, I'm like, what are you talking about? Here's who I am. Here's my resume. Here are my connections. Here's my title. Well, there's a lot more to us than that. I am far more interested in who you are in this moment with your choice to join me today. And what do you envision for the future? So you can pick your timeline, 5 years, 10 years. What does the future look like? And I'm gonna put some seeds in here for you. I noticed that you were on the track and field team as a sprinter at MIT, so you have an athlete in you. You were also part of the 2014 MIT Ideas Global Challenge as a participant. That, yes, so I'll leave it there. So the question was, who are you becoming?
Yeah, you're right. This is a hard one. I think it actually relates pretty closely to something you and I have touched on before. And what I said is, I'm not an entrepreneur yet. I am in a really beautiful position where I'm learning about the business case for sustainability and the business case around circular economy and really some major gaps out there in the infrastructure that we need. So maybe I'll found a company in the future. Maybe you'll see me closing some of these gaps we have for the renewable energy transition that's going to leave us with solar panels and wind turbines that we don't know what to do with. Or there's still another path for me that maybe I actually want to lead some teams and try to get this information to as many people as possible and really pull out passion out of people. So I still have a couple of paths to choose from, but for right now, I'm pretty happy trying to solve the circular economy metrics issues.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that you said what is the infrastructure there, as well as how many hands can I get it into, and how do I close the gap? So that's one thing, is like, if we envision ourselves in retirement and you create that today, saying this is what it's going to look like for me, I still at age 80, I would like to still be working because I'm still passionate. I would like to be an advisor. I would like to be, a social advocate. And the challenge was, okay, how do you close that 30-year gap and bring some of that today? And as I say, the future is bright and the future is fast, and it will be here before we know it. So what, I encourage, what can we do to bring people along with us adjacent to what you're currently up to today. So as you are deep in the thick of it, who hears this? Who do you sit next to on the train? Who are you, when you're visiting your family, how does that show up? And I love to surround myself with others that are inspired and curious and open to always learning and listening with a fresh perspective, because we are continually changing and continually evolving. So I'm going to circle back and do some of the things that that stood out to me in your experience, and see if you'd like to add anything before we do our closing rapid fire questions. So, you have experience in compliance, assurance, environmental management systems, sustainability across the supply chain. You are skilled in circular economy, waste management, operational HSSE. What's HSSE?
Health, safety, security, and environment.
Okay. And technical writing. So with that's many different pieces. I do think this is important to say. If someone is listening and their company is 3 years old and they know they're late and they want to implement, they want to begin to be aware of how they are operating themselves sustainably, as well as add in some advocacy within that. Where do you recommend they start?
I think first getting familiar with the concepts. Again, I pointed to a wonderful resource, the Ellen MacArthur Foundation. It's kind of a guiding star there. And then it's really about two really big pieces, your circular inflow and your circular outflow. What are you buying? Where is it coming from? Who makes it? Can you trace it back to the original place? What materials are you using? Are they scarce? Is it causing environmental harm when it's mined? Can you get recycled, reused, or regenerative material instead? And then look at your operations and say, are you using your resources efficiently? How much waste is coming out? Where is it going? Who is it affecting? Waste often disproportionately affects people living in impoverished conditions. Are you adding to that? And then it's looking at your actual physical product. What happens with it at the end? Can your consumers bring it back to you? Can it be repaired? Can it be refurbished? Does it have to be thrown out? Are there other businesses that could use that as raw material instead? These are just some of the things to start to really think about what your business is impacting.
Great. That sounds like a great checklist that I will put in the show notes and a beautifully simplified, because usually it just feels too overwhelming and I don't know where to start. So if I can implement into my team, can we add one piece? Can we discuss this once a month and to tackle it with baby steps so that we can get started? So thank you for that. So I will have all the resources in the show notes, as well as, some links to suggested reading. Thanks for that. So the exciting rapid fire questions. So Teresa has not been prompted for these. These are off the cuff. What is the last outside outing that you went on? Meaning you just stepped outside. What did you do?
I was actually just in Phoenix last week, and I spent some time, well, Scottsdale actually, spent some time sitting by a pool, so not super outdoorsy, but watching the hummingbirds, and it was wonderful.
Right. And how did that feel, and what did you get from that, from watching the birds?
Was my first weekend without homework in over a year. And it was absolutely freeing and exactly what I needed to start resetting and start, recharging for the fact my semester starts again next week.
Yes. Wonderful. That's something that is fairly new to me. I study flow state. I'm fascinated by neuroscience. And as a culture, we are taught to recover our bodies, rest and recover our bodies, but we are rarely taught to recover our minds. So your mind, with the learning that it's doing, it has been at, capacity for some time. And so to have those quiet, silent moments, and particularly in nature, there are less sharp edges, and it calms the nervous system. So something like watching a hummingbird, I actually just watched a documentary about hummingbirds. It was fascinating. So watching that allows things to calm and to rest in your body, to catch up, your mind and your body to align and catch up with that rest. So first, congratulations on completing last semester, and hopefully you're rested before you begin the upcoming one.
Need a few more moments with the hummingbirds.
Yes. You can also, during COVID, I heard you can, so you can't get to the beach, you can't get to the mountains. You can actually watch a video of a recording, like in your living room, of a hummingbird, and it has the same effect.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Awesome.
Yeah. So plug in if you need to. What is your favorite advocacy or nonprofit group?
Oh, I don't know that I could say I have a favorite. I think I've pointed quite a lot to the Ellen MacArthur Foundation today when it comes to circular economy, but I actually was just approached by a really cool one that I would love to give a shout out to called Every Shelter, which takes billboards and it turns them into basically shelter roofs in refugee camps. So it keeps them out of the landfill, and they also upskill refugees to actually sew the roofs, and they're 10 times more durable actually than the tarps that are typically given out in the camps. So it's
The
really cool.
material that is wrapped on a billboard is this what this is?
Excuse me, yes.
Fascinating. And what is that material? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay. That's really interesting. It's amazing the things that people come up with. So I always when I'm like, how can I find that person? Tell me the name of that organization again.
Every shelter.
Every Shelter. Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. And one more. How about a professional book or podcast that you can recommend?
Yeah, I have a ton of them next to me to still do reading. So I mentioned already the Conscious Closet. There's Cradle to Cradle. And this one I haven't actually read yet, but it's on my list. It's just some fun facts about, oh, it's not showing. Fun facts about recycling, which is a small MIT Press guide.
Okay, great. I will add all three of those into the notes. What's your takeaway from the Cradle book?
It's basically again talking about really how you keep materials in the economy. So a lot of what we talked about today.
Great, great, great. All right, wonderful. Well, Teresa, this is our time for today. Thank you so much for all the insights and threads of your story of how you got to your purpose and your passion for sustainability. It was really a treat to get to talk to you and keep on trucking. And I can't wait to see how your continued chapters unfold. So thanks for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Bye-bye.